A milestone today for a moment in legal history which possibly changed the way America looks at itself and may have changed the way people around the world see this country and its notion of justice and the rule of law. 10 years ago today, President George W. Bush signed the 2-page memorandum with the Orwellian title, Humane Treatment of Taliban and Al-Qaeda Detainees. The internal document has become widely known as the first of the so-called torture memos. The memorandum, drafted in part by Justice Department Attorney John Yoo, who now teaches at Berkeley, argued that the government was exempt from the Geneva Conventions in any war on terror-related investigations. As the document asserts, the treaty does not apply to stateless enemies, read terrorists, and so under the argument, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda were not covered by the Geneva Conventions. It was this document that first gave the military legal authorization to engage in those so-called enhanced interrogation techniques, including the practice of waterboarding. With us now is Michael Scheuer, former head of the CIA Bin Laden Tracking Unit and adjunct professor at Georgetown University's Center for Peace and Security Studies. Professor, welcome to the program.
Thank you very kindly, sir.
So do you view this memo 10 years ago as the beginning of an episode in American jurisprudence and war and, you know, relations with the rest of the world? Or is it a transformative moment that really informs the way America deals with the rest of the world in investigations of this type today?
I think what it does most of all is it demonstrates a failure of the American governing elite to be able to fight wars anymore, and to realize that an enemy can be a very effective enemy even if he doesn't wear a uniform or have a state that sponsors him. The decision by the Bush administration was really too clever by half. We had a perfect way to hold these people, which was in stockades as we held Germans and Japanese during the war. We could have let the Red Cross talk to them. They could have wrote the letters to their moms and would have decided when the war was over and release them at that point. And so we really shot ourselves in the foot here.
And Michael Scheuer, you're suggesting that the torture memo itself, the humane treatment of Taliban and Al-Qaeda detainees doctrine, was a way for the Bush administration to try to erase, to deny the existence of the stateless enemies, the asymmetric warfare that we were dealing with, not to embrace a real strategy for dealing with it.
I think that's right. I personally don't oppose what the president did because we had to do something. They weren't willing to conduct the war and murder the enemy as the enemy deserved, so they were trying to figure out something else to do. And it was just a shoddy way to do business. And ultimately, the proof is in the pudding, and it's been ineffective. We have a bigger enemy today than we had in 2001.
Now, I'm sensing a contradiction, that you believe it was shoddy behavior on the part of the administration, but yet you supported it?
Well, you have to fight the enemy somehow, sir. These people decided not to kill the enemy in numbers that would have brought us victory, and so they fell back onto a second best, which really wasn't even second best, not only in terms of the memo you're talking about, but in terms of drone strikes, special forces action, and very effective operations by the special forces and the CIA. None of those things, even all of those things together, aren't capable of winning a war. And so we've diddled around for a decade and again, find an enemy that's more powerful today than he was a decade ago.
So how do you define that we have a bigger enemy today than a decade ago? Because some would say that's indeed not the case. And in fact, President Obama, gosh, I love it when I make that slip, President Obama said in his State of the Union address that, in fact, the enemies have diminished.
The president is along with Mr. Bush, is reality averse. I would say you just simply take a map and lay out where al-Qaeda and its allies were concentrated in 2001. If you did this, you would find Afghanistan. If you did it today, you would find part of Afghanistan, a large swath of Pakistan, Yemen, a large part of Somalia, across North Africa reaching down toward Nigeria, Palestine, Lebanon, and Iraq. Now, you can argue one way or another interpretations, but if you color in a map, you simply have an objective measure. the objective measure is a much more serious situation today than in 2001.
Let me get a sense of the moral calculation that it seems to me that you're making here. You're saying because the Bush administration did not decide to kill in large numbers, large enough numbers to make a difference, they came up with something second best, and that was the enhanced interrogation techniques. Are you saying they traded large numbers of deaths in Afghanistan and Iraq, where there were plenty of deaths, as it turned out, for the relatively morally benign process of enhanced interrogation?
Well, surely all governments under both parties in this country are definitely afraid of what the Europeans are going to say and of what the media is going to say. So that's part of it. The other problem both administrations have, whether it's Mr. Obama or Mr. Bush, is the Israeli lobby hates the idea of and opposes the idea of identifying the people we're fighting as insurgents, because they would have to identify the Palestinians as insurgents. And that, of course, in modern-day parlance, gives a certain legitimacy to the enemy. So they box themselves in between their Israeli allies and their supposed cleverness. What they ended up is doing, losing the war in Iraq and on the verge of losing the war in Afghanistan.
So legally speaking, what do you think is the legacy of the so-called torture memos and the view that the war on terror is not covered by the Geneva Convention?
I think it's a feckless exercise by both administrations that will leave the next administration, whether it's Obama or whoever is the Republican candidate, with a much more serious war that eventually is going to come to the streets of the United States, because we have not addressed the issue that's causing the war, which is the American foreign policy.
And the addressing of that would consist of what, before we go?
Well, we have to do something about energy. We have to reassess the value of our relationship with the Israelis. We have to stop supporting the Saudi police state. And we have to stop crusading for democracy around the world, which simply angers people who regard it as paganism.
Michael Scheuer, former head of the CIA Bin Laden Tracking Unit, with an extraordinary takeaway there. He's also an adjunct professor at Georgetown University Center for Peace and Security Studies. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.